Revelation chapter 1, we're going to take a little side journey here, just real quick. I had something on my heart right before I came out, and so I don't intend for this to be the main course, more like the free chips and dip, you know, that come out at a Mexican restaurant, and we'll get into the fajitas in a minute, I suppose, but I did have this on my heart that I wanted to make mention of before we dive into our main message. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. I got this right before I was walking out. The Lord reminded me of this just in my heart and felt compelled to mention something. And if it's for someone here, praise God for it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. It said, "But when it pleased God," this is Paul talking, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Now that's interesting in and of itself. Paul was separated from his mother's womb and called to be an apostle of the Lord. I mean, the calling on this man's life was phenomenal, writing 3/4 of the New Testament, establishing the kingdom of God and in such a way that I don't know if anyone other than Jesus has made a greater impact on Christianity than the apostle Paul and the revelations that he received from the Lord. And he was called from birth to do it, just like you. When you were born, God placed on your life a specific assignment, a specific destiny, a specific purpose. And Paul always had that destiny, but for years he was running the complete opposite direction. Isn't that funny? You know what that leads to? A whole bunch of frustration. Remember what Jesus told him when he first appeared to him on the road? He said, "Oh, Paul, oh, goodness, it's hard kicking against the pricks, isn't it?" And basically, Paul's life, he always knew this is, something's not right here. You know, I like what a man I used to listen to named Brother Hagin. He said, you know, when you're outside of the will of God, he said, it's like trying to wash your feet with your socks still on. Something's just not right. And it's the truth. It's the truth. When you're outside of the will of God, man, everything in life, it could seem like, oh, this is good, and all that's around me seems right, but on the inside, you just know something is out of place here. I've used this example before, but we'll use it again. Years ago, when I was a boy, I went through my father's office, and he had tons of books. He was an avid reader and studier. And you ought to be if you're in ministry. You ought to study to show yourself approved. But anyway, I'd always go through those books and I'd pull them out. And I'd always look to see which one was the most marked up, which one was the most highlighted, and which one did he write in. I figured if it was kind of beat up and highlighted and marked in a lot, then it was probably meant it was a pretty good book because he kept coming back to it. So I'd always look through it and see which ones he was in. And so I picked up this one book, and it was by a man named Donald G., a book called The Pentecostal Experience. Fantastic book. And in the book, he likens being led by the Spirit of the Lord to this example. He says, think of it like a train. That a train, as long as it is on its tracks, it could go through storm after storm. It could go through dark tunnels. It could go through all types of calamity all around it. But as long as it's on its tracks, there is an innate smoothness. I mean, you could see all of this stuff happening all around you on the outside. You could go through the dark tunnel and realize you're going through a dark place. But on the inside, there is an innate smoothness as long as you're on that train. He said, but you could take the same train and put it on those tracks, and it's a beautiful day outside, beautiful scenery, everything looks great and grand. But he said, if that train was to get off of its tracks, no one would have to wonder if anything was wrong. There's going to be calamity all around it. And he said, that's exactly what it's like being led by the Spirit of the Lord. When you know you're in the plan of God, you could go through dark places, dark tunnels, bad experiences, difficult things happening to you. But when you know you're in the will of God on the inside, just on the inside, in your gut, there's an innate smoothness. I was reading after a man who I believe is a Christian. In fact, he stated that he is, but he's a very successful businessman. And I don't know how educated he is in the things of the Lord, but I do know he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And if he has, that means his spirit is alive unto Christ, therefore open unto leadings by God. And he wrote a whole chapter in this book just called Trust Your Gut. Trust Your Gut. And he said, what I'll do is I'll go into business meetings. He said, I can have all these different people telling me about an investment and all of these different things telling me what to do. But he said, man, if my gut just on the inside tells me something's not right, he said, I've always learned to trust my gut. It's never led me astray. And that's what Donald G. was saying. You could go through things in life that, oh gosh, it just looks like things aren't getting better. In fact, it looks like things are getting worse. But as long as there's an innate smoothness on the inside, there's something on the inside saying, stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. Then friends, stay the course. And it'll always lead you to your final destination. But on the other side of that, if you're looking at your life, it's like, whoa, man, things are going great. But on the inside, it's a train off tracks. On the inside, there's turmoil going on there, all that types of pressure, all that types of worry and fear and anxiety just on the inside. Then friend, you got to make adjustments. You need to seek the Lord. And unfortunately for Paul, he never did. At that time, his name was Saul until God changed it. But here he is called by God to be an apostle unto the nations. And what he's doing is the complete opposite of his call. He's persecuting the church. He's persecuting Christians. He's doing the complete opposite of what God has called him to do. And so here he finds himself in this type of state. And finally he hears from God. And there's all different types of ways to hear from God. But the way Paul heard from God was spectacular. He saw an open vision and there's Jesus speaking unto him. But nevertheless, he heard from God. And at that moment, he started hearing not only about his things that he needed to make adjustments in, but he also started hearing about his call. He started recognizing the call of God that was on his life. And friend, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are in this room, where you came from, where you were born, who your parents are, who your parents aren't. You're called by God to do something on this earth. And Paul, once he started getting leadings, I'm supposed to do something here. I'm called by God to be an apostle. Notice what he did. Let's read this. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Oh, aren't you glad for the grace of God? Friend, you say, well, I've missed it. My ship is up. I know I had the plan of God, but I missed it too bad. Friend, if there was anyone who'd missed it really, really bad, it was this man. I mean, you're talking about murdering people in the name of the Lord, thinking you're doing God a service. And in fact, it's the complete opposite of doing God a service. But God's grace came in there and fixed up his mess. And I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of mess you created for yourself, the grace of God can come in there and fix it up. And notice what he says here, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Now notice what he did. Immediately he did something. Watch what he did. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's anyone you can hear, anyone you can see, or anyone you can touch. He said, the first thing I did is I made sure I didn't talk to anyone with a voice other than God. I didn't talk or communicate to anyone in flesh and blood. Neither went up unto Jerusalem, which were apostles before me. Well, that would have been seemed like a smart thing to do. I feel like I'm called to be an apostle. Let me go talk to some apostles. They said, no, I didn't do that. But I went up into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after, notice this, 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other than the apostles, saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now notice this. Here this man, he's finding out his calling. You can only find your calling from God. You can't find it from anyone who may have your best interest at heart unless they're speaking from God. They've got a word of the Lord for you. And even in that case, it ought to bear witness with your heart. Your calling comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Once again, we said this in our parenting deal, but even in parenting our children, we are not to instruct them that they can be anything they want to be. No, you can't be anything you want to be. Now, you can in the natural be anything you want to be, but your peace and your grace is only found in what God has called you to be. Amen. Paul did a lot of things, and he was very successful in his life and his career. He was the chief of all of these guys. I mean, had a name that was famous, but he had no peace. He had no grace for it. Why? It wasn't God's plan. And finally, he hears from God about what his plan is. And you would think it'd make sense, right, to go talk to some other people about it, to go talk to some other apostles about it, to go talk to some disciples about it. Just seems like that'd be a good thing to do. But he was led by the Lord to immediately, when he receives his call, to do something. And the thing that he was to do was to get away from every other person, to get away from them. And he stayed away for 3 years until the call of God was confirmed in his heart. My question would be, is why? Why did he do that? Here's why. I've said this before, but I'll say it again and again. People give opinions. God gives plans. And there's a big difference between the two. An opinion is what someone thinks you ought to do. A plan is something God gives you that he knows you should do. There's a big difference there. In your life, there's never going to be a shortage of people, especially people who love you, who are not going to talk to you and tell you what they think. But friend, you got to understand this, and Paul did. We have to too, that every word that comes out of someone's mouth is a seed. Every word. Every word that comes out of your wife's mouth to you, it's a seed. Every word that comes out of my mouth right now to you, it's a seed. Every word that comes out of a coworker's mouth that hits your ears, it's a seed. It's not just a word you're hearing, it's a seed that's being sown into your heart. And when that seed is sown into your heart, just like a farmer sowing seed into ground, once that ground receives that seed, guess what it's going to do? It's going to start producing. First, what does a seed do? It grows down, and then what does it do after that? It springs up. First it grows down, then it springs up. First it grows down, then it springs up. The same thing is true with words. The word of God, when you place it before your eyes and ears, which as a Christian you're called by God to do so, that seed gets in your heart. You open up your heart for it, that seed gets in that ground, and guess what it's going to do? It's going to grow down before it grows out. It's going to grow down before it springs up. This is why a lot of Christians get frustrated because they say, where is all of this produce that the Word of God has and said it should be producing in my life? It's growing down and then it's going to spring up. The key is to not uproot the seed. Now, when someone speaks into your ears and you're talking to them about something and they're giving you an opinion, if your heart is open unto them, and I don't know about you, but my heart is most definitely not open to just anyone. You ought not to be just listening to anyone with an opinion. But there are a lot of people that we love, they love us, and our heart is open unto them. And it's so easy to get over in, it's great to have natural conversations, it's a beautiful thing to have, it's a wonderful thing to have. But when you start talking about decision time, you're getting ready to make a decision in something you should do, whether it's a job or whether it's a big move or whether it's some type of switch or some type of change or you got something on your heart to do, and you start sharing those things with them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to start talking to you. Now, a wise person who's disciplined with their words, and unfortunately there aren't a whole lot of those, their response back to you will be, what do you have on your heart? An unwise person, they'll start talking to you and telling you what you should do. Well, if I was you, I would do da 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 da. And where does that get dangerous? It gets dangerous when your heart is open up to them and you've got God's seed sown in your heart about his plans and purposes for your life. But then here comes this other seed, and it's a wheat sown among those beautiful things. It's a tare that's sown there. It's a weed that's growing up that is going to choke out the life or modify the plan God has for you. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times. Or someone has something on their heart to do, but they start talking to other people about it, and the plan of God either one never gets done, or two, it gets modified, and it's less than God's best. Brother Hagin, a minister that I followed for a number of years, went to his Bible school. He always said this. He said, many ministers live and die and never get over into the first phase of their ministry, never even get into the first thing God has called them to do. You know what? It's true. I've seen people in this, in my field. I don't know your field. I only know my field. People in my field, good people. Oh, good people. But they just struggle. And you wonder why. How could someone be so good? I mean, that kind, that good, that lovely and beautiful heart and beautiful spirit. And they just, they can't ever make a go of it. And you wonder, where is any grace for this? Where's the hand of God propelling them forward? And friend, I'm telling you, God helps us as much as he can. But there is a good, there is an acceptable, and there is a perfect will of God. Isn't that right? Go over to Romans. Let me show it to you in Scripture. I said this was going to be just the chips, but I think it's going to be the fajita too. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul, the first thing he knew not to do is to start talking to people. Why? Their words are like seeds. Those seeds get sown into your heart. It starts modifying your actions. It starts modifying your behavior. And Paul knew that the first thing he needed to do was this word from the Lord, was to get away and to get that thing solid in him. The only time you start talking to people about the plan of God that you believe he's wanting you to do is when your heart is fixed on it. When your heart is fixed on it, then you can start telling other people. Because here's the deal, I can promise you this. As soon as you start telling other people what you're going to do, what you feel like God's called you to do, guess what they're going to do? They're going to start talking. And if your heart is not fixed, they'll talk you slap out of it. I mean, slap out of obeying God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, notice this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice, I ought not just be doing anything with my body. Amen. I'm to make it be holy and give it to a gift, as a gift to the Lord. But watch what he says here in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. That means simply don't be fitted into the world's mold. But instead be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice there are three areas of the will of God. There's the good will of God, there's the acceptable will of God, and there's the perfect will of God. There's a big difference between which one you're in. The good will of God, it's good. It's not excellent, it's not perfect, but it's good. The acceptable will of God is where God allows you to do something even though it's not his plan. An example of this is with the children of Israel. You remember way back in the day, they were ruled by a set of judges, and the judge's job was to hear from God, and they would translate God's word into laws for the kingdom, and God was their king. But the children of Israel got to look in at all these other nations, and they said, oh man, all these other nations have a king. I mean, they have a king they can touch and they have a king they can see. We want a king. We want a king. Was it God's plan for them to have a king? No, no. It was God's plan for him to be their king. But God gave them what they wanted. He gave them their requests, but it sent leanness to their souls. What happens? What does that mean? It means that they got a king. They got what they wanted, but it wasn't the perfect will of God. It was merely his acceptable will of God. He allowed them to do it. And guess what came with that decision, friends? A whole bunch of ups and downs. Oh, they'd have some kings like David who were men of God. I mean, men after God's own heart. And, oh, it's beautiful. The nation's prospering and the nation's beautiful and the nation's glorious. But then they would die and someone would take their place who would be crazy and bring in false gods. And then the nation would get thrown in torment and the nation would get in captivity. And then someone would cry out before God and a king would rise up who loved God. And they'd pull them out of that torment and God would deliver them. But they went through cycles, just a whole bunch of frustration. And you know what? It was all unnecessary. They never had to go through any of that. Why did they? Not because God wanted them to. It's because they didn't take the time to stay in the perfect will of God. See, the acceptable will of God, God's given you free choice. God's not going to ever make you do anything. He's a perfect gentleman. When someone gets filled with an evil spirit, he controls their actions, attitudes, and behaviors. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he gives you suggestions and ideas and things that inspire your spirit, but he's not going to make you do anything. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, he gave them a choice. If you choose the right thing, you're going to walk in blessings. You choose the wrong thing, it's not going to be happy days for you. And I'm telling you, friends, we're living in a day and age right now where there's chaos, it seems like, popping up all around us. And listen to me when I say I firmly believe this, that if you're a child of the living God, it should not come nigh you at all. But you got to be in your place. Your place is where your grace is. And Paul knew this. He knew, I cannot allow these other people to speak things into my heart that may be good, but it's not God. And it modifies the plan of God, and it takes me out of doing what I should do because I opened up my ear at a time when it needed to be fixed on God. Oh, friends, I'm telling you today, be sensitive. Wait on the Lord for his plan for your life. We've said this before, but it's true. A lot of people treat God like a drive-through window. Pull up to the deal. You know, well, what do you want? Okay, you know, God comes on them. What do you want? Well, let me look over the menu. I take a little bit of this. I take a little bit of that. A little bit of this. Pull up, and everybody just wants to pull up, not get out of the car. Just pull up, have God open the window, and shove it out. I think a lot more people would come to healing school if it worked like a drive-through window. Just come, sit here. Here you go. But friends, I'm telling you, there's some things that come from God that require to wait on him. In stillness, God speaks. When the world's trying to get your attention, it gets louder. Have you ever noticed that about the world? I mean, when they're trying, it gets louder, they raise their voice, louder, louder, louder. God gets quieter. He speaks in stillness. He's not in the fire. He's not in all these other things. He's in a still, small voice. And friends, when you get that in your heart, that's your place. Oh my goodness, it's a beautiful thing. It's your place. How do I know all this? Because I'm in my place, but I can remember when I did the exact opposite of what Paul told me to do and talked to a whole bunch of good, meaning people who didn't know God. They were pastors, but they gave me faulty wisdom. And it wasn't their fault. It was my fault for listening. I knew what God had called me to do, but I wanted their affirmation. I wanted their approval. And I opened up my ears to it, and the plan of God got modified. And friend, I'm telling you, it almost cost me the church. It was when I was making a decision whether or not to go back to Bible school for my second year or come back here and pastor the church. I knew in my heart I'm supposed to come back and pastor, not to go up there. But you know what I did? I made a deal with God. And like I said, God will deal with you. He puts you, when you do that, you get over into the acceptable will of God. All right, if you want to do that, I'll allow you to do it. And I went up there, and man, I made a deal with him. Okay, God, I won't pastor the church, but I will. I won't, but I will. I won't be there from Monday to Friday, but I'll fly home Friday night, preach on Sunday morning, fly home on Sunday night, and keep going to Bible school. I did that for a couple of months, my friends. And I'm telling you, during that season, it was like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And it wasn't because God wasn't there. He was. And it wasn't because God didn't want to bless me. He did. And it wasn't because he wasn't for me. He always is. It was I knew what to do, but because I was afraid to do it, and I allowed other voices to come in and speak into my ears wrong advice, I was missing God. I was out of my place. Oh, and it cost me. Thank God I got back into it. But I meet a lot of people who never do. They just work. That's all they do is just work. Not for any purpose, not for any reason, just to make money. But and that's good. You ought to put bread on the table for your family. But friend, I'm telling you, there's a different way to live. There's a different way to live. And Paul, for 3 years, why did he wait 3 years? I suppose that's how long it took for it to get confirmed in his heart. And even after that, he didn't go broadcast it to the world what God put in his heart. He told a couple of people and then just walked the plan of God out. And guess who the Bible follows for the rest of the way? This man. All through the book of Acts, all through these great epistles written through the church, this man's ministry blossomed, not out of his own doing, simply because he was walking out the plan God had for him. And friend, I'm telling you, when you walk out God's plan, life begins to blossom. Things begin to get beautiful again, and peace comes back. And there may be times where you go through a dark place, but friend, oh, I'm telling you, nothing beats inward peace. Nothing beats it. So friends, I want to encourage you today to get the plan of God in your heart. And then after you get the plan of God in your heart, don't veer from it. Don't separate from it. Don't get to talking about a whole bunch of people. There are questions that are reserved just for God. One of the main ones is, what do you think? Why? Because as soon as you ask that question to any man, any woman, guess what they're about to give you? An opinion. And as soon as you get God's word in your heart, get it firm, get it solid, get it grasped, and then from there, you just walk it out and watch God's blessings flow. And in spite of anything that goes on in this world, watch God's blessings flow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a joy to preach.